The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entry starting at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick a winner each week. Last one standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit CircaSports.com for more details. It is a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander here. He's in the Sports Betting Network. That's Kelly Bidlin, and we get tweets.
We get tweets,
there's
Dustin.
The echo.
Hey, before you start, do you know that there's a baseball favorite today of minus 276?
The Dodgers?
The Phillies.
Oh.
We have a Palmquist on the mound for Washington.
Well, he's opening for Zach Littell, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that Zach Littell allows home runs at a very rapid rate. That is the thing with him. I thought about the Phillies team total today, but I'm not really in the mood to back them at this point. Yeah, minus 276 in them is pretty absurd.
Right? That is a big number. And yeah, not the Dodgers.
I mean, the Dodgers are minus 219 against the Cubs.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We'll do more on the
road, yeah.
We'll do more on the baseball card later, Kelly, because I have a couple K-prop unders I'm going with today, and
ooh,
I'll explain why. As we do get tweets, want to read them as they're coming in here. And a Buddhist man writes in, and this is a good one. These are the specs I pictured Dustin Sweetelson rocking this morning as I drive to the office. They look like a bedazzled pair of Cartier glasses that are tinted kind of pinkish, purple, bluish. I would rock those.
I was going to say, those are some badass glasses. I'd wear those too.
I would look a lot like Elton John, but I would rock them. At Scola underscore 10, nerds, Dustin all white and nerdy looking today because I bought a new pair of specs, man. I like them. They're going to take a little bit of getting used to. And it's difficult to find glasses that fit my big fat face.
Hey, this is reality. This show's tough with new glasses, okay? Gil rocked a new pair like 6 months ago and had to go back.
Yeah, but I don't fall pressure to peer pressure. Like, the more you hate something on me, the more I'm going to lean into it.
Okay.
Like, that's just my life in general. The more people say, like, I don't like that you do this, I'm going to do it more. Like, say that John Mateer is better than Arch Manning right now.
Yeah. JVT, if you're still listening, all that did was make him want to bet it more.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to stand 10 toes on it. Colin Murphy writes in our discussion about the Falcons. All I've heard all offseason is Atlanta over 6.5 wins, and yet they aren't moving the number. I took a shot on them to finish last in division, plus 160, fewest wins in the league, 17-1. Two is cooked. I'm with you. Yeah, I don't see what everyone's seeing with Tua and Atlanta. If it's panics, I can buy it a little bit more, but you're waiting for him to get hurt at some point in time. Someone tweeted us last week when I was in, maybe the week before, about them trading for Zach Wilson or something like that. And I'm not a Zach Wilson guy, but as many warm bodies as they could get at quarterback with upside, I think would be a positive for the Falcons.
Man, here's my counter. Who in the NFC South is running away with this division?
Well, you and I are both pretty low in Carolina.
Yes. And like, are you a part of this camp that thinks that Tyler Shuck has all of a sudden revitalized everything happening in New Orleans?
He was really good last year. I like Kellen Moore as a coach.
Sure, me too.
But like, there's all this film on a guy that everyone overlooked last year.
They're not launching to 10 wins, I don't think, right away.
I'm not saying that they don't win the division, but I'm not really jumping to back them to win the division.
No, me either. And then did the Buccaneers get better or worse from a year ago?
Well, how much does the off-field drama impact the actual games? Because Vita Vea wants out. Baker Mayfield has a chip on his shoulder. Doesn't have a new contract.
Mike Evans isn't there anymore.
Mike Evans is by the way,
like, they're definitely I'm just saying, this is a division that is full of teams that have problems.
By the way, Mike Evans, or not, but Baker Mayfield, he played through injuries last year.
Yeah.
You think in a contract year, he's going to be willing to suit up and risk it like he did a year ago?
I've always been a Baker fan. Honestly, how he's handled this during the training camp has only made me a bigger fan.
Oh, he rules.
And how many teams do I have to go to, win ball games, spill blood, and you guys promise me stuff, don't do it?
No,
like,
but
I love
this will be the best thing for him. Baker's a gambling man.
He's
betting on himself. And in the end, what if the Rams win the championship and Matthew Stafford says, I'm going out. Second ring, I'm done. I know they drafted Ty Simpson. Work out a deal for Baker Mayfield. You can trade Ty Simpson or do something else with him down the road. or Minnesota comes calling.
Yeah, sure.
Someone is going to want Baker Mayfield. Someone who misses out on one of the quarterbacks.
Carolina Panthers.
Well, I thought about that too. I don't think he's going back to David Tepper. I don't think he was a fan. Chance Copperpot writes in, Dustin, your new glasses are giving me big bathrobe vibes, not Subaru vibes. James Fessler with a great tweet at Mizzou_soldier. Awesome. Love when Dustin Sweetelson guest hosts a numbers game where numbers never lie. Also, Dustin, quote, stop using numbers to hedge your opinions. You know, it's not that I don't believe in numbers to create your opinions, but I think too many people have an opinion. They go back and they go, well, the numbers say X, Y, and Z to make them feel better about things. Sometimes you can just say, this is the situation. This is what I saw. You don't have to say EPA per dropback is the reason why something is good or bad.
Okay.
Just my thought. I'm just a little over the analytics, mainly because maybe I'm just stupid, and whenever I reference them, it blows up in my face. maybe that's part of it. It sounds like
it's coming from a sensitive spot, that's for sure.
It's personal.
That's what it sounds like.
Speaking of personal, who you decide to bet on every week in the NFL, that is a personal choice I do not judge. So I tasked Kelly with this. Who are the top five coach-quarterback combos that he likes to bet on? And I made my list. He made his top five. It's not necessarily the best, but it's who in certain situations you go, you know what? I like putting my money on this person because nobody's an automatic fire every single week. It's about whether you believe that that person's going to show up and cover the number, whether as a favorite, whether as a dog, however it may be. So Kelly, without further ado, who is your top five?
Yeah, I took it more as the top five I trust.
Yeah.
But yeah, trust to bet on is usually how it plays out. I think there is one pair that you brought up pre-show. We'll get into it about. Number one, Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay. I just think that is we saw this play out last year. One of the best offensive minds in football was Sean McVay. You've got Matthew Stafford running an elite offense there in LA. That was pretty easy, actually, for me to go number one.
Yeah.
I did go Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, number two. There's been some injuries. There has been, you could take a step back and say some stat decline here from Patrick Mahomes over the past couple of years. That's fair. Don't know if they've got all the weapons needed on the offense to kind of turn back time and look like a championship team again, but we've seen this pair get it done for many years. I'm still confident to put them this high on the list, Dustin. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, number two. Number three, I guess, is where I'm getting a little aggressive, but I'm a believer.
I don't believe you're being aggressive. Okay. I thought about going higher.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I was like, I can't do it to Mahomes and Andy Reid. Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson right there with Sean McVay. Immediately, there were the questions. How much of it was the setup in Detroit coming to Chicago? I think we saw his ability as a coach completely play out last season. I think it continues. I am not one of those people that thinks Chicago is due for a ton of regression this year. I think they have a real chance in the NFC North. And I think Caleb Williams, it proved some doubters wrong last year, including me. I think I was one that still had massive questions about Caleb Williams. I think he's a baller. He's lost some weight. I think he's in for a big season this year. Number four, Josh Allen and Joe Brady, because the head coach doesn't matter with Josh Allen. That's how I took this one, Dustin. The head coach, enter any name there, Josh Allen elevates you to this level, number four. And then number five, and maybe I'm low on this one, absolutely a chance for this pair to rise this season. Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, I have a feeling you probably have them even higher because don't you have an MVP bet on Brock?
I don't, because I don't do well betting on them.
Yeah, it's been mixed results for me, too.
The rare time they're an underdog, yes. As a favorite, I've been wrong, I've been right. It's kind of 50-50 with them. When I look at your list, so the reason Kansas City, I don't have them on mine, is I've been annoyed by the style of play that they go with the last few years, the condensing the game, the limiting possessions, the relying on the defense. Mahomes in the fourth quarter, they win, but they don't cover as much as I need them to just like really trust them like I used to. If you're going straight up, you're doing the money line parlay, yeah, you back Kansas City. But they're not always covering the number, at least when I'm betting on them from my perspective. All right, we have a couple that are the same. Let's go with mine. We both have McVay and Stafford number one. I mean, that's not even a debate for me. So McVay, 87-72 against the spread, 60-48 against spread as a favorite, 50-42-3 covering since Stafford arrived in 21. But here's the deal. Outside of Thursday night last year against San Francisco when I lost in Survivor, I trust McVay to have plays in his back pocket ready to go when he needs something. And you know he's prepared. You know he can make adjustments. And you know that Stafford can make all the throws. Mm-hmm. That's the other element here. The quarterback, And I think Stafford last year, when he won MVP, was operating at a Brady-like level. That is the highest compliment I can play. He was so advanced, just like watching the play out in front of him and developing. He knew what to do with the football before it happened. So that's why they're number one. Number two for me is DeMeco Ryan, CJ Stroud. Not because I like betting them against the spread.
I like this. You went a different way with this.
It's because I know they're dictating the style of the fight. It's less about covering. It's more about knowing the game flow. 16-11 as an underdog, 6-3 against the spread as a home dog. But here's where the numbers really tell the story. Speaking of hedging your opinion with numbers. 17-10 to the one and one to the under at home. 17-11-1 to the under away. 17-11-1 under as a favorite. 17-9-1 to the under as an underdog. You know it's going to be a low scoring game if they are involved, partially because CJ Stroud has some issues, but two, because that defense is always dialed all the way up. Number three for me, I'm going with the Bears, and I debated putting them at two. Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. You know that Ben Johnson has something ready to go. He's also ready to just unload the playbook at any point in time to win a random game with crazy plays, throws to offensive linemen, tight ends completing passes. Like, he's always got a trick up his sleeve to ensure he gets the win. But when you bet your money, you feel good that you know the coach that you're betting on is going to pull out all the stops to keep it close and try and cover that number if he's ahead. Number four, give me Seattle. Mike McDonald, Sam Darnold. Darnold only brings this down because I'm scared of the turnovers, even though I am a Darnold guy. But Mike McDonald, 12-4-1 against the spread on the road. That tells you how good of a coach he is to cover on the road routinely. And then lastly, I have the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert. It's more about the way they are together. A lot of the transgressions for Herbert, I think, are from the Brandon Staley era. And the way he's played under Harbaugh, I believe in them because it comes down to the fourth quarter making throws. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I think that the way that they're playing off of each other, they could be due for a big year here.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. Coming up 45 minutes from now, Spanky's going to be in studio. Talk a little Bet Bash here.
Bet Bash getting started this week. Our next guest will be doing a seminar.
That's what
there,
I thought.
Yeah,
that was going to be the transition here. We're reading my brain right now. I looked at the people who are speaking, and I saw our next guest being listed there. So I think that is worth the price of admission alone. You can get an extended conversation. You can also see the luscious locks of Drew Dinsick in person, in the flesh. He joins us now, NBC sports betting analyst, the podcast, The Deep Dive, at @whale_capper on X. And Drew joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. So Drew, talk to me. I believe I saw you're listed to do a little seminar on tennis betting. Before we get to the actual bet back and the handicapping, when Drew Dinsick comes to Vegas, what's the game plan? Like, what's the vibe for you out here?
I wasn't told I was doing tennis betting. Is that really what I'm on? No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a great segment on tennis betting. And honestly, like, you know, a lot of people probably bellyaching that there's no sports on, blah, blah, blah. All we got is baseball. I can see behind you on the big screens there. There's some good tennis matches on this week. We have both Toronto and Montreal. That's, of course, the men's and women's Canadian Opens going on right now. This is a big deal. We're ramping up the hard court swing into the U.S. Open. And a friend of the program who lives in the U.K. will be joining me on the panel to talk about just some of the basics of tennis handicapping. We're going to talk about some of the, tell some stories, obviously. And then we're going to get into a deep dive of the U.S. Open and how we are seeing, you know, player form heading into the U.S. Open, strategies for betting slams, match by match and futures and outrights and Honestly, we put together a Google Doc and have just kind of filled it with ideas that we want to cover. It's going to be very, very tough to squeeze it into an hour, but we're gonna do that, and we're gonna leave time at the end for Q&A for anyone who's kind of getting into tennis handicapping and wants to pick our brain on that experience and strategy. So should be a lot of fun. Everyone will leave that seminar kind of an equal mix of kind of educated and entertained is the goal.
But what is the Dinsick move? What's the vibe when you get to town? When you come to Vegas, like, what's your go-to moves?
I'm all business. What's funny is you know how you're apps are on your phone are always spying on you. Well, yeah. I pretty much flip open Uber and it's like, you need a ride to Circa?
It's like, yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what? You bring this up. There's a saved. Yeah. At the same time as Bet Bash, there's a hacker convention going on the same time in Vegas. So yeah. Be careful with those apps spying on you right now.
That's like just every year now.
Just completely, it's just complete random luck that's happening. But yeah, no, it's a small world. But no, I ride to Circa. I kind of settle in, drink a healthy amount of water. My Vegas experiences, I try to keep them relatively tight in terms of time spent, boots on the ground. Keep it very, very lean, time spent, minutes in the room. So drop off the stuff and hit the casino floor, and then try to get to bed by 5.
Yeah, I respect that.
Get to bed by 5.
I respect that move, even though it goes against all conventional wisdom, what everyone does when they come to Vegas. But you know what? I'm meeting new people who treat Vegas differently. And I think as I get older, I treat it differently.
Sure.
Yeah. I think if I didn't live here, I'd be more about the relaxation aspect of Vegas than I would about the actual, like, getting hammered and running around and having a good time. Kelly's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I would never do that in my life. Okay.
Hey, you can do all of that. Yeah.
Well, speaking of hype, the hype in Vegas is to party and have a good time. Let's talk about NFL teams coming into the year. A lot of hype around them. Who are you not buying what you're seeing out there, Drew?
Yeah, it's a funny kind of mix of buying and, like you said, there's hype around 30 of the 32 NFL teams. And some of it is stuff I am buying into. Like, I happily buy into the Mike McDaniel hype and what he's going to do for that Chargers offense. Happily. Mm-hmm. Happily buying into what Jesse Minter is going to mean for the Ravens defense. Happily. Less interested in what I think is kind of strangely turning into the kind of the intelligentsia pick for the Super Bowl, which is the Houston Texans. I'm very, 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 very buyer beware on the Texans. I don't think this is an especially good offense. I think there's huge questions about how high of a ceiling CJ Stroud affords you as far as offensive, just reaching a ceiling. I think that the what's happening is pretty obvious. Everybody is looking at what happened last year with the Seattle Seahawks and being like, man, if you just have an absolute, soul crushing defense, you can just win the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold. So as I look across the NFL, like, obviously the personnel on the Texans, they have a soul crushing defense. They could win. Right. And it's like, yeah, sure, they could. But, that's is CJ Stroud the. Was he the third best quarterback in the AFC South? If Daniel Jones didn't do his ACL, is he the fourth best? Or if he didn't do his Achilles, is he the fourth best? So, it's definitely, that's the one thing that I've kind of noticed everyone with the pulse is sort of gravitating towards the Texans. The FTN Almanac obviously has very interesting kind of content and really, really love reading sort of the pros about the teams. Their projections on the Texans to me look wildly bullish, and I really do not understand how they're coming up with some of these numbers on this offense. This is still an offensive line that's clearly bottom five in the NFL, in my opinion. CJ Stroud, I think, is a little bit broken when it comes to facing quick pressure, and they have an awesome wide receiver room, but the running back room and the tight end room are lacking. I'm not seeing the offensive complementary side of the Texans to warrant any type of real serious consideration of a threat in the AFC.
Yeah.
Good.
Drew, is there a sell for you right now in the futures markets on Houston, or is it a play on Jacksonville, or is it just kind of a look to play against Houston once we get into the season? Cause I think I'm with you. This is, high floor team for me because of the defense, but yes. I don't know what the ceiling's like. And I think that ceiling in Jacksonville might actually be a little higher. There's a little bit more room for hope there for me, at least.
You framed the question well, because you're right. The Texans are in a bucket with the Seahawks and the Vikings and, you know, and
Broncos,
you know, to a degree, the Broncos. Well, although I'm starting to get a little whiff about the Broncos that I'm not loving also. Get to that in a second. But yeah, you know, these teams in a bucket where you look at what they did last year defensively, and it's obvious there is a high floor, which is going to kind of keep them competitive throughout the season, right? They're not going to lose games to bad teams very often. They're going to kind of get into that double digit win range. They need to have a seat at the table come playoffs. But if you don't have the potential for a step forward offensively, I don't really think you can make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, I guess I look at specifically the, you know, kind of the magic of what Seattle did last year, and the fact that, you know, you had this, you know, truly remarkable season from JSN, breakout from, you know, Sam Darnold with Clint Kubiak. Like, that was a great combination on paper before the season started. And I'm not necessarily seeing that with Houston, but I think the answer is they're going to be in the mix, even if it's just a wild card. And you're going to have to just pick your time to pull the ripcord on them and bet against them with conviction. That was the way it was with them last year. I remember Houston was probably my favorite handicap of the entire playoffs. They were so very clearly going to be able to exercise their advantage with the pass rush against Aaron Rodgers that they were an easy bet on. And again, like, CJ Stroud was terrible in that game. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next game against the Patriots, it was again pretty straightforward. Like, you know, they are in harm's way here, and CJ Stroud is not the guy that's getting them across the finish line in this type of condition. So I think basically it's just a matter of timing your pull the ripcord on the Texans if everyone is a believer. And right now, for whatever reason, everyone's a believer.
Yeah, Drew, I want to believe, but the big hang up for me is the offensive line isn't better. And if the offensive line isn't better, how is CJ Stroud going to improve in what was a horrific year a year ago? He's Drew Dinsick. Check him out, NBC Sports Deep Dive Podcast on X at @Whale_Capper. And if you come to Bet Bash, you can see him in person. Thanks for the time, Drew. I'll see you walking around Circa over the next week.
I love it. Best of luck, guys.
Awesome stuff from Drew, per usual there. You want some more awesome stuff? You want Heisman breakdowns? You want to look at the best quarterbacks in college football? An awesome write-up from a few people here that I just want to highlight that jumped out to me. Jensen Lewis buying the LSU hype, plus $1.60. Ben Stevens on win totals for UCLA. Looking at New Mexico to win the Mountain West Conference. You can check all of that out in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. You'll get instant access to our College Football Betting Guide. Previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, betting systems, best bets, and more. Plus, you'll also get the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, everything we do on the website. Plus, you can get all that starting for just $9.99, or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. And when we return, how impressionable can you be off of a soundbite of a player talking about his head coach? And does that make you rethink the way you're looking at a division? That's something I'm asking myself. I might be dead wrong about fading this team this year and might need to walk back my steps. I'll tell you who that is next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah, buddy, back at it on A Numbers Game. That's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out here for Gil Alexander the rest of the week here as we get you set. Bet Bash is upon us. Spanky, who puts the whole thing on, will be joining us in, what time is it? 45 minutes? On the
30 program? Minutes.
30 yep. minutes. Oh, yeah, I can't do math. Yep, 30 minutes here on the show.
You're good.
So, all right.
You're filling in for Gil. Drew's filling in for Gil. I'm pretty sure Gil was supposed to do that tennis. Drew Dinsick, not just a great guest, a great friend too, because I think Gil had to make some quick,
you know,
phone calls.
What? That is certainly interesting now. Old Gil hanging out in San Francisco.
That's right.
And unfortunately for Drew, that means he has to now lead the seminar at Bash?
I think that's how that worked. Yeah,
that is, dude, that's funny. That actually is like perfect.
Right. I think it was the Gil like 9 months ago commit to it, and then you know vacations get set, and it's like
dude, I'm such a, and I do this especially when I'm drinking. If you ask me to do anything, I'll be sure I'm in.
Right, sure. 100%.
And then a week out from the event will happen, you'll reach out and be like, hey, we're still doing it. Like one time, and I enjoyed it. I'm hammer drunk in LA with my buddy. He's like, Billy Joel's playing Dodger Stadium. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, of course I want to go. And then like, as the, I pay him for the ticket and I'm like, all right, it's still like a few months out. Yeah. Then it gets closer. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go, but I also don't know if he has anyone to go with other than me. So I go, I have a great time, but the whole week leading up to it, I'm like, I don't know if I really want
to
do this right now. Why did I agree to this?
Yeah.
And now it was an awesome concert because he brought out Pink. He brought out Axl Rose. Jeez. And there was one other big person that came out and played. It was awesome. And it was a concert at Dodger Stadium, which is so random, but
yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, I tend to agree to things down the road thinking that maybe I'll die of a heart attack before it happens.
It's at least twice a year. I'm surprised out here. Because this is what happens, whether it's friends, family, whatever. People get really excited about booking their stuff to Vegas.
Yes.
So whenever they book, it's like, hey, Kelly, I'm going to be out there like in 7 months. And
whoa, people, your friends are good. My friends go, hey, I just landed in Vegas. You around? No heads up.
No. That's where I was getting to, though. I get these 7 months out, like I'm supposed to mark it on a calendar and count down the days. And then I get the text like, hey, what are we doing tonight? I'm like, I had no idea you're here.
I get the, hey, I just landed at the airport. You got anything going on tonight? I mean, here's the sad truth. Really? No. But I also,
like, we do have jobs technically still. Yeah,
no. But like, even if it's a weekend, I have such bad, I guess it's ADHD. I don't know what it is, but I need to like mentally put myself in a place where I'm willing to be social. So if I'm told days in advance, hey, I want to do this, I'm like, cool, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But spur of the moment, if someone reaches out to do something, my instincts are, nope, did not plan for that mentally, can't do it. Can't do it. Not willing to do it.
Oh, I like it.
Once I do it, I like having fun and going out and being around people, but takes a lot for me to do. Like,
it's
kind of
funny. Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that because I'm not as I've gotten older, I'm not as big a spur of the moment guy either. But yeah, I don't know. I don't need to hype myself up for it.
No,
I'm just lazy.
No, it's more just like I only have so many hours to myself a week.
Right. No, it is that. It is.
But also being around people takes a lot out of me. Not gonna lie.
No, it can be exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Well, you know, I'm exhausting.
You know who was exhausting last year? AJ Brown when he was playing for the Eagles. And now he's a member of the New England Patriots. He talked to NFL Network yesterday and had this to say about reuniting with his former head coach, Mike Vrabel.
It's been great, honestly. I go back to like the first day. I attempted a one-hand catch on the sideline, and we got in a meeting, and he chewed me up, you know, and he expected me to make that play. And that example alone, it's like, obviously, I know I can make that play. He knows I can make that play. But it's like, he's like, do it. Do it. You know, if you're going to do it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, all right, Vrabel is about to make me turn up, like make me go to another place. You know, obviously, I want to be great and I want to push myself. But it's just like when you have a support system from somebody that you respect so much, it'll give you a little extra push because we always have more in the tank, you know. So that's what it is. That's what it's been like ever since he started coaching me from day one. And I've been loving it.
So there were some shots within that quote too, a little bit later on. He went on to further just say like it was the type of coaching like he hadn't had in the past. I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like he was going at Nick Sirianni and not being able to motivate him, put him in situations to feel wanted and appreciated,
right.
Which look, everyone's got their own coaching style. The one thing about Mike Vrabel, well, there's many things to say about Mike Vrabel these days. But one thing about him as a coach, he is very much a player's coach. Like, you think about the way players talk about him. A.J. Brown wanted to be reunited with him despite the way things ended originally in Tennessee.
Which is not pretty, yeah.
The tone of his voice has me wondering, am I wrong? When we did the NFL betting guide a few months ago, I had the Patriots not in the playoffs.
Mm.
More about the schedule getting a lot harder.
Right.
We saw what it looked like in the Super Bowl when they faced the Seahawks and wind up getting smoked. But let's also be fair, the offseason that they just had, A.J. Brown, Romeo Doubs, Drake May actually has legitimate weapons to throw to, Elijah Vera Tucker on the offensive line, couple pieces and vets on the defense, and Draymond Jones, Kevin Byard. I like some of the other guys they have there, some of the vets and youth mixed together. Am I too low on the Patriots where initially I want to go under that 10.5? But the way AJ Brown's speaking, if these guys love this coach this much and they can have that motivation impact the way that they approach each and every day, each and every week here, am I too low on the Patriots, Kelly?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But look, I don't have bets on them, so I can't sit here and act like you're crazy. I have the Bills to win the division. Still think they're the second best team in the division, Patriots. Yeah. I think they probably make the playoffs. This is where I think the AFC playoff picture is so fascinating to me, because Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos out west, you got the Bills and the Patriots here in the east, Bengals and the Ravens in the north. Okay, that's kind of seven teams. We got to carve out, you know, someone in the south. So it's one of these teams isn't making it. I don't think you're crazy to say that the Patriots could be on the outside looking in. I do think the schedule is going to be a point of conversation all summer. You're going to hear this. It is still by win total this season the 12th easiest strength of schedule as we're sitting here in August. But
that's because the Jets and Dolphins.
But it's much tougher than it was last season when they had like a historically easy schedule.
Yeah, I know I'm in a minority here, and this may be crazy pills, but I think the Jets are going to be way more competitive this year.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be good.
Matt and I talked about this last week.
But I don't think the Jets are just the automatic win they were in the past. Now, New England might go 2-0 against them, but they're going to have to work for it now. Also, New England has the Raiders. Remember they lost to the Raiders last year?
Sure.
But, like, the Raiders are also better this year.
Yeah, week one dopey stuff.
They have to go to Seattle. They have to go to the Jaguars. They have to go to the Bills right out of the chute. I mean, that's a concerning start.
Oh, that's a brutally tough schedule.
That could be a 1-3 start right there. But then it's the Raiders and the Jets. Thursday night football at the Bears week 7. They benefit from the Dolphins twice on the schedule, though. Green Bay will be a little bit easier than I think we thought coming into the year, although Micah Parsons should be back by week 9. Then they play the Lions in Germany, followed by the bye. Sunday night football against the Chargers off the bye. And then it's the Bills, the Vikings, the Chiefs, which is a really tough stretch. Those four after the bye. Then they have the Jets on the road. The Broncos, which should be difficult week 17. And they finish with the Dolphins at home, which, I mean, that's a win. That's the Dolphins in the cold in Foxborough.
God knows who the Jets and Dolphins are running out in week 16 and week 18.
But look, I'm going to give them the Steelers are a win. I'll say the Raiders are a win, even though I think that's not as easy as it appears. But I like the revenge factor from a year ago. The Jets, I'll say they split with the Jets.
Okay.
So we're at 3 right now. They'll beat the Dolphins. That's 4. I think that they win.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, like, I might give them
right out of steam. Though.
I might give the Jags, as another win. But Kelly, I don't think they're beating the Bears on the road.
I mean, there's gonna be some tightly lined games here that could go either way.
Hot take: I think the Chargers are just as good.
Sure. You could make the argument they're better.
For everything I'm going to say about Mike Vrabel as a motivator, he's not an X's and O's tactician.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a guy who inspires his team and gets the most out of him. And like, there's a ceiling to what you can accomplish with that. I think against the Chargers, now they'll be off the bye playing at the end of the week, so they will have a rest advantage there. But I still prefer the Chargers there, that one being played on the road. They'll probably beat the Vikings Thursday night football.
I think Vikings are going to be tough.
I don't see them getting. I don't know if they get the 10 wins.
The Chiefs, I hear you. I think it's tough. Look, I do have a bet related to the man we just heard speak, though. I did bet him for offensive player of the year.
I think where your head's at here.
I think the talk around A.J. Brown has gone way too far the past couple of years. He's still a guy that goes for over 1,000 yards every single season. He's an elite number one wide receiver. And you're going to an offense with a quarterback who has a big arm. He was second in the NFL last year in completions of 20-plus yards. Brown continues to be one of the best deep threats in the league. 25 deep targets last season. That was 9th most among wide receivers. I think he could have a big-time season in New England.
Yeah, I agree with you. Football season's almost here. The sharp money's already moving. Here's how the sharp plays see it first. Exclusive data feeds from 4 major sports books. They've got a syndicate tracked in real time before the market moves, all of it filtered, sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Nobody else in the industry runs it like they do, because most records couldn't survive at the sharp plays. Their record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycle plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It is a numbers game, VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up in 1 hour, Kelly and I will stick our hands in a hat. I don't know what that means. We're going to get some names out of a hat because we're going to tell you who the winners are of the Winner's Circle Proxy Grand Prize Drawing. Remember, one entry into Circa Survivor, one entry into Circa Million. Both winners get Winner's Circle Proxy service, a full season of support from our trusted team, an exclusive VSiN studio tour where I keep saying I'm going to wear pants that day, but if you prefer I don't, you let me know. And one free month of VSiN Pro subscription.
That's right. Big time drawing coming up here in just a bit. I have cut up names. First of all, they've been randomized. I know this. We've gotten questions about this before in the past when we've done this drawing. Bill 80, randomized all the names.
But if your name is in it, my Venmo is available, and I will make sure your name is drawn.
Also made this joke. Randomized 10 names, sent them over to me. I cut them up into little pieces of paper, just like it's preschool dust, and put them into an actual hat, and you and I will each draw one of them.
We have a hat here?
Yeah.
The VSiN top hat?
Yeah, the VSiN top hat.
Have you ever worn the VSiN top hat?
Oh, I have worn the VSiN top hat. It is full of names. You can see, just so there's no shenanigans, we will be drawing names from this hat.
You know what? This whole time I thought it was a legit VSiN top. It's just a top hat that someone taped the VSiN logo to.
I've never understood this. I don't know who for. I'm responsible for most of the props around here, yes. I feel like. I did not purchase this. And it's not even like a real top hat. It's like hat.
So speaking of
I don't know who bought this.
Speaking of hats and props, cashing out is coming back.
Excited, man. Are you excited?
I am excited to go back to my own show and do my own thing.
You've been an awesome team player this entire summer.
And, I've enjoyed it. I've really liked, one, my schedule, having a life and being here when the sun's out.
But it is nice to mix up the schedule.
Also, people don't realize, maybe this is why I have the social interaction issues. You become such a recluse working at night. I rarely run into anyone during the week. So it's been nice actually seeing the people that I work with, because it's me and the crew. We're here till 11 o'clock at night every night. So it's been fun to hang out with everyone. But we had a show meeting yesterday where we were talking about some bits that I do. And one of them is Dead or Alive. I was like, you know what? It's a whole Western theme we do for Dead or Alive where we look at futures. I think I'm going to get a cowboy hat for that. And I was like, I also want to do a segment called Bang the Drum, where like it's something like all these things I'm really passionate about that I wish more people would pay attention to, where I'm literally banging a drum. And our boss, Steve Cohen, was like, hold on, you're getting a little out of control. We don't need a drum. Cowboy hat works, but relax with the drum, okay?
It's weird. It's like radio guys don't like things that make noises. You know?
Well, it's just weird. I get it. Sometimes, look, I am a person who doesn't know where the line is, and sometimes I go too far. All right, we have breaking news out of the NFL earlier today. Bijan Robinson became the highest paid running back in football. And now, moments ago, this in from Adam Schefter.
Wow.
Baltimore wide receiver Zay Flowers and the Ravens reached an agreement today on a 4-year, $140 million extension that includes $108 million guaranteed per his agency. Now, Zay Flowers, electric player, right? And maybe I need to look at the numbers a little bit more. My first instinct here is
sounds like a lot of money for Zay Flowers.
It sounds like a lot of money that the previous regime has not been able to get him the ball consistently. Right. And I don't think it's his own doing, by the way. I think it's the scheme a lot of times, but I just want to go back just to see if my gut instinct is substantiated here as I hedge my opinion with the numbers.
He just got more guaranteed money than Chris Olave.
I mean, he had 1,200 yards last year. It was a little bit better than I thought, but I don't know why my first instinct is like, they could be doing more with Zay Flowers.
No, I agree, and I think that's a pretty consensus opinion.
He cleared 100 yards 3 times last year.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say a lot of this has to do with, Lamar health is a factor in this too, which would be fair, but
totally.
Yeah, that's kind of, man, I don't, that's my feelings on him. Chris Olave, I'd be willing to pay a lot more than Zay Flowers.
He's 25, so there's still plenty of prime left here for him, but I do have concerns about paying 5'9" receivers who rely on speed. Right. I just think about so many guys who can pop early on in their careers like that, but they don't always age as gracefully. He's not quite at the aging part. He probably still has 3, 4, maybe 5 more years of prime, but I'm just always concerned about the longevity of those types of players.
Sure. Tyreek Hill, right? Like the ultimate example of the best.
How about a guy that they had Hollywood Brown at one point who looked like he was going to be, you know, a stud receiver. Maybe not a superstar, but a stud out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have questions about Zay Flowers being your number one, what your ceiling is, but when Lamar Jackson's your quarterback, maybe you don't need the traditional number ones that other teams would have.
So this is, what, $35 million a year, just the annual average salary.
That sounds right.
That puts him fourth in the NFL.
Ooh, that feels like a lot of money for Zay Flowers.
Ahead of CeeDee Lamb, tied with Justin Jefferson, behind Drake London, Ja'Marr Chase, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Okay, you said Drake London, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and who?
And Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I'd rather have all three of those guys than Zay Flowers. No offense to Zay Flowers. He's not really in that class.
No, not at all. And then again, he's making more per year than Olave. Yeah, and he's getting paid more guaranteed.
He just got paid
like a big boy wide receiver, man.
Yeah, I think you have to do it if you're the Ravens. You're just kind of pot committed to this roster and seeing it through.
Yeah.
What's the option? You let him walk?
So this is... Right. Yeah. I guess I feel the same way you kind of sounded about Bijan earlier. So because you have Lamar there and you have Derrick Henry, you kind of don't have a choice, right? Like, you have the quarterback. You have to try to run out the best supporting cast possible because it does give you a chance. Baltimore is in the Super Bowl conversation, right?
Yes.
So you almost have to, but man, this team... I'm not even just going to say Zay Flowers. This team could age real poorly here in the next couple of years. I mean, this could fall off like crazy.
Oh, look, they're the favorite to win the North at -112, +184. Jesse Minter and Joe Brady are two coaches in very rare circumstances where you join day one. The expectation isn't like be good, be respectable. No. Your job is to get us over the top and win a Super Bowl.
Right.
The Ravens are -112 to win the division. I hate doing it because it's who you're doing it on, but that's why I'm so bullish on the Bengals. It's a lot of transition for the Ravens. And like, let's be fair about this roster. Not great with adversity, not great with a little bit of pressure and they're back against the wall. Maybe Minter, because of what he learned from Jim Harbaugh and the way he's operated the last few years, maybe that kind of kills some of that for them. But the reality is I have a lot of questions about the Ravens this year. So that's why I lean Bengals +184 to win the AFC North.
I lean that way too. I don't think I'm going to get there on a bet. I am a believer it's those two teams at the top, but I think it's closer than those odds indicate, right? It's just we know what this division's become, right? It's who's going to be healthy. Is Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson going to be healthy down the stretch? Whoever's healthy at the end is probably winning the division.
Well, we were just talking about the Bills getting to play the Dolphins and the Jets twice a year. Let's also be fair. The Ravens and Bengals get to face Mike McCarthy and Todd Monken twice a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Aaron Rodgers and either Shador Sanders or Deshaun Watson. Like, that's brutal, man. By the way,
Schefter backs up my... I was doing that math on the salaries. Good. Schefter did back it up. I'm right. He is tied fourth now with Justin Jefferson for annual average salary.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Now, look, this is all based on timeline. When you get paid, right, you are the right, highest exactly, paid, then yeah, other people exactly. get paid later. But it's just, is Zay Flowers someone who warrants that type of hit to your salary cap? Again, this front office has to do this. They don't have any other choice. You're all in on this year. He's on the roster. You can't do better. I guess theoretically, if you're the Ravens and A.J. Brown was available this offseason, do you think you could have convinced a package to trade Zay Flowers and picks to get A.J. Brown? Because to me, that's what I would prefer if that was something that would have been doable.
I would think you definitely could have done that.
But I think these front offices get obsessed with their guys.
Yeah.
We found them. We groomed them. We developed them. We turned them into something. We know them better than anyone. So we're going to pay them. And that's the one interesting wrinkle as well with this is that the Ravens have a new head coach, but they have the same front office.
Right. No, you're absolutely right there. Man, the other interesting part about this with Zay Flowers is... The other pass catchers on the roster make him look better too, right? Rashad Bateman hasn't really lived up to it, right?
No, it's such a weird group of receivers.
It really is.
They've been begging. Look, Tez Walker.
I mean, to his credit, he has been by far the most consistent of this group.
I am someone who is very intrigued by what Tez Walker can do for them. The kid out of North Carolina. I think he's got upside. I like that they drafted Jacoby Lane last year. this is a kid from USC who was kind of, you know, overlooked because Mekhi Lemon was on the same roster, but he's got some upside. But in the end, it's like Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, low ceiling, high floor receivers. But again, you have Lamar Jackson. Do you need those stretch the field types that play a certain way because your offense doesn't operate like everyone else's?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Well, that's a big deal, man. That's a big signing.
All right, it's become an annual hallmark on the calendar. Bet Bash comes back here to Circa in Las Vegas. What's new this year? What's different? We'll break that down coming up next on A Numbers Game.